Welcome to Bare Roots,
the podcast that unearths the truth.
Allegedly.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina.
And I'm Shannon.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bare Roots. Today's episode, as you can tell from the title, is all about Richard Jewell. Now, you may or may not know who this man is, but you will by the end of this episode. And this episode is honestly perfect timing because it is the... I didn't do the math before this episode, but it's the anniversary of the 1996 Olympics that were hosted in Atlanta. And that happened on July 27th. So when this episode comes out, it should be in August. So very close timing. And not only that, but currently as we speak, the Tokyo 2020 Olympics is happening right now. So we are in the Olympic spirit over here at Bare Roots. So Shannon, how are you feeling today?
I feel like I say this every episode and I feel good. And I didn't know anything about this topic before we researched, and now I do know more.
It's a good story. Yeah, this episode, I would say, is less conspiracy and more controversial.
Right. Like, it's not really, there's not much conspiracy over it.
Yeah, but it's still a good one to talk about because so much went down that is actually wild. So Everyone listening, buckle up because we're about to go on a bumpy ride. And this all starts off at the 1996 Olympic.
So the setting, it's July 27th, 1996. We're in Atlanta, so you know it's god-awfully hot.
Mm-hmm.
The Olympics are hosted there, which again, like, Olympics are real. I know you're an Olympic girl, but...
Olympic girl through and through. You don't know how excited I am for this Olympics. Like, I just sat and I've watched hours and hours already of Olympic coverage.
I don't mind the Olympics as the sport. I just, when they go to cities, they destroy the cities they go to more often than not, and it's like they build all these buildings just for them to be empty later, and it's a little rough. So I always wonder, like, why cities want the, like, I get that you get a boost of economy during that time, but then you typically go into a real rough patch and then it's a whole bunch of waste.
I would like to chime in. Japan's trying to do a lot of recycling type things. I will say, I think they have consciously taken notes from that argument and they're doing their best to make use of the space, because I do agree with you. That is definitely one downfall of these modern Olympics. But we digress. We shall talk about, we're here to talk about Richard Jewell and not about the Olympics.
This is true. Setting. This is true. The setting is just the 1996 Olympics in Atlanta. So in the early morning of July 27th, we're talking like 2 a.m. time, like not like birds are chirping early morning. This is like nighttime
party.
Yeah. A concert's going on. And this time a bomb went off under a bench. And it ended up killing one person from the blast and injured more than 100 others. And in the rush to find the perpetrator, one man became the target, but he was innocent.
And we are going to talk about how this man became the target when he was really innocent the entire time.
And truly the hero.
Truly the hero that was misrepresented, which is... so sad. And you know what's wild about this whole entire situation? How come growing up, I swear I didn't even know there was a bomb that went off, not only in America, but in the Olympics? How come we didn't talk about that? Like, I've heard of the Oklahoma bombing, not until later, until high school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of like it that I can think of. Like,
I just think remotely. I just think of Oklahoma bombing and like Columbine, which isn't a bombing, but those are like the things that come to mind. Yeah. Definitely, yeah, didn't know that this happened.
I feel like... okay, maybe this is the controversial conspiracy theory. The American history teachers all banded together with all of the workers who worked on this case. And they're like, this is so embarrassing. We cannot have this go down in history, like, for kids to learn, because they made a mistake. And again, we keep saying, let's dive into it, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely embarrassing for the FBI, for sure. So... let's get into the attack. The attack happened at Centennial Olympic Park, which was designed as kind of like the town square of the Olympics, and thousands of people had gathered for a late concert. And this was the location. There were multiple concerts every night, and it just so happened to be this July 27th night. Richard Jewell was working as a security guard for the event, and he happened to discover a green backpack containing a fragmentation-laden pipe bomb under a bench, and he alerted the Georgia Bureau of Investigation officers. This discovery was actually only 9 minutes before an anonymous 911 call gave a warning about the package. So somebody called, said, there's a bomb. You have 30 minutes. During that time, Jewel and other security guards began clearing the immediate area so that the bomb squad could investigate the suspicious package. So Richard Jewel never opened up the bag. He just thought it was suspicious. And then he got those people in. They came in and they did see that it was a bomb. And then they started freaking out. I think, was it ATF? ATF people?
I think so, yeah.
Because I think the quote that he gave later was that in training, when you see an ATF officer run, you better be in front of him. And he saw the ATF guy run to go get other people. But Richard Jewell stayed with other officers to try to clear the area because this was packed with people for the concert. Mm-hmm. The bomb exploded 13 minutes later, and it unfortunately killed Alice Hawthorne. And it injured over 100 others. And a cameraman also died, but he died of a heart attack while running to cover the incident. After the incident, Richard Jewell was hailed as a hero by the media. He was the one, like, if he hadn't found the backpack, a lot more people would have died because they were able to clear the area somewhat. And so he was hailed as a hero, but then things took a sudden turn.
That is right. And we'll talk about this sudden turn right after this commercial break. And we are back. Alrighty. So let's talk about this controversial investigation and how this man who was portrayed as the hero in the beginning turned into the villain. So when the media started covering this whole incident, again, they talked about Richard Jewell, how he was the hero, helping people clear the area. And I can only imagine, in one, first of all, you're at a concert, it's so dang loud. Two, mm-hmm. people, I'm sure they probably didn't know to take him seriously. Like, do we need to move? Do we not need to move? I can only imagine trying to get them to do anything.
Yeah, and there's drinking involved.
Yeah. They're just celebrating. Mm-hmm. It's so loud. So good on him. So he is the hero in this. And of course, everybody's watching this in the news. And there was a guy who was watching it on the news, and he happened to be the president of Piedmont College. And he was like, hey, I think I know this guy. I know Richard Jewell. And of course, during this time, not only are they labeling him the hero, they're also looking for the person who, set off the bomb. And so he called the FBI, and he actually talked about concerns about Richard Jewell from when he worked as a security cop at that college where he was president. So he mm-hmm. was actually the one to kind of plant the seed that, hey, you know, I know you think that this guy is good, but when I worked with him, we had some issues. Right. And so the FBI kind of looked into it. They soon found out that former coworkers of his, of Richard Jewell, talked about employment problems with him, and that Richard Jewell was just obsessed with law enforcement. And they all thought it was very weird and strange. So he was definitely someone that people worked with that they didn't love necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
So the FBI took it as a situation where they have seen in the past where possibly, like, this is where, again, they thought this rationale, where cops have actually planted situations of need so that they can fix it and claim themselves as a hero. And so this is where Richard Jewell comes into play, where they're thinking that might actually be what happens, where, you know, he's so obsessed with law enforcement. He wants to help others. He wants to get this credit, you know, a guy who went from a security cop to, you know, working at the Olympics on this big grand stage. I mean, if you're going to do it, this is the way to do it.
Yeah, and it's the exact same of when you see cases of a firefighter starting a fire, because they have that hero complex and they want to fulfill it. And I mean, I'm not mad that they questioned. I think it would be stupid for them not to have him as a suspect, because that is obvious. It's just like when somebody dies, the significant other is always, or somebody gets murdered, the significant other is always one of the prime suspects, because it's just like an obvious thing. Yep. So I get that, but that's not the issue in this case. And we'll dive into what the actual.
Exactly.
They took it a little further.
Yes. So of course, I mean, when you're thinking about this time period, there was a lot of pressure to solve the case as the Olympics were unfolding. I mean, right. This isn't just like a hit and run situation type thing. And I mean, not only is that on the grand stage, but they need to make sure that all these Olympians, these spectators are all in safe hands, because I'm sure that must have been a really scary situation for everyone.
Yeah, because you don't know if there are more, you know, you don't know, because it's basically an event where there are a lot of people all the time at different area, you know, like they're just always there. So it's kind of like a prime place to put a bomb every single day.
So, and I can only imagine too, as the host of the Olympics for the Americans, that's a lot of, I'm sure, like legal issues and just like liability of having all of these top elite athletes coming to the country to perform and do their events. And if there were to be numerous athletes from all different countries have something going wrong, that is a huge liability.
And it's just a horrible image.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you come to America and you get bombed. Like, that's pretty bad.
Exactly. So all of this is happening, right? And as Shannon mentioned, you know, it's not wrong necessary for them to look at Richard as a possible suspect, especially given the tip that they were given. But there was an unidentified law enforcement officer, so some FBI guy, who leaked Richard's name as a potential suspect to a reporter. And we can talk about like a little bit of like a movie review at the end, but this episode was really inspired by that movie that was created, I think maybe 2 years ago at this point, maybe a year.
It was either 2017 or 2019.
Yeah. Somewhat recently, in the last like 5 years. And in the movie, this reporter was this good-looking woman.
Olivia Wilde.
Yes, exactly. Who's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say seduced, but kind of, sort of, you know, with FBI officer, and they're talking over drinks and the drinks are flowing. And then he just kind of spills Richard Jewell's name. And she was like, aha, this is it. This is my ticket. And this is going to be the biggest story ever. We have an inside scoop, and we are going to be the first news location to break this news. So due to the media leak, as I'm sure you can all imagine, it went bananas. It went absolutely bonkers for Richard Jewell. Like, not only was he being followed because he was the hero of this case, but now he's a villain. And I mean, the media just ate this up, this sudden turn of events. And for these investigators, because his name was released when it really shouldn't have been, and it should have been kept confidential, this really sped up the time for investigators to try to put him down, essentially. And they needed an answer, and they needed it quick. And so Richard Jewell was then tricked into going into the FBI office as a quote-unquote training. So they told him, hey, we're going to do some training videos. Like, we'd love to have you in, da-da-da. So he was like, yeah, sure, you know, happy to help. But then in reality, he was actually later on being interviewed about the case as a suspect. So the director of the FBI told the employees to stop the interview and warn him about his rights. And you can literally see this on a video where it did actually start as a training video for the first responder. But then at a point, the investigator started telling him his like Miranda rights, and the camera is on Richard Jewell, and you can really see his facial expressions where he realizes that at that moment he is now a suspect.
Yeah,
which is
really wild.
So sad, especially just being shady. Tricked into it.
Yeah,
exactly. Jewell then called a friend who was a lawyer. And in the movie, this friend is kind of like a loose term, you know?
Yeah.
But he knew someone, we should really say, who was a lawyer. And his lawyer was able to get him out, considering that he was not under arrest. He was just being interrogated, essentially.
Yeah.
So days following was a media frenzy for Jewell. And federal agents later searched his home for any evidence. So they are on... you know, the gas pedal is on to figure out if he did it or not, and to really try to honestly prove it. And so the media, of course, painted him in a horrible light as the perpetrator, even though it was under investigation. So it's so sad because everyone was like, he did it. But in reality, there was no proof yet. It was
because his name was leaked. Everybody just assumed he did it.
Right. Exactly.
And it's like, no, he's just a suspect. And you shouldn't really know suspects, and the media should not be putting suspects out. Mm-hmm. It should be putting out, this is who did it. And exactly. I think that's where the confusion came from.
Yeah, it wasn't like he was going to court and this was his time that, mm-hmm. you know, he was being presented in the federal judge or whatever. So big mistakes were made on the FBI's party.
Yeah, the FBI didn't look into anybody else either.
Mm-hmm.
Once his name was leaked, they're like, well, I guess we just have to follow this through. And then they just set it up like he did do it.
Yep.
So you haven't investigated literally anyone else.
Exactly. Meanwhile, the actual person is out here running around, you know.
Right.
So sad. And so 2 months later, it took 2 weeks after Jewell was identified, he was offered a deal if he answered investigators' questions, and then he could be cleared. But it became clear to investigators that there was no evidence to charge him. So after he was let go, allegedly, several FBI agents were reprimanded, including the agent who read him his Miranda rights. You know, which I would just like to throw in a little note. To me, that kind of seems dumb, considering they were literally orders from the director. But I guess somebody has to be blamed for it, right?
Yeah.
So Richard Jewell, after the heat storm that he was in, he would later sue several news organizations, including really big top ones. I'm talking like NBC, like CBS sort of thing. And he had a press conference talking about this whole scandal and how it has really impacted him, you know, and his name and all this stuff. And quote, he said, for 88 days, I lived a nightmare. And these top news organizations would later settle for an undisclosed sum of money. So I can only imagine.
Yeah, I tried looking it up and it seemed like NBC settled for like $500,000 potentially. And it was just NBC, but we don't really know. It's not public information, I guess, how much money he got. They did try to sue the FBI, but that didn't go anywhere because it's the government. So
it's the government, yeah. Just the slap on the wrist to those people who read him as Miranda, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, what do you think? Do you think that's an appropriate sum of money, 500, or do you think it's too much or too little?
I mean, from one news source, I think that's an appropriate amount, especially like if he had spent time in jail, then that's a different matter. He never went to prison.
Right.
So his life was hell. Don't get me wrong. Like it was hell, but he didn't. There are so many cases of people going to prison for 10 years for a crime they didn't, or X amount of years for a crime, crime they did not commit. So sure, you know, like it's like 88 days is better than 10 years, you know?
Right.
And again, that wasn't even in prison. That was just, he was getting stalked by the media. But I mean, his image is forever changed. And I watched the movie with my parents last night. And even my mom was like, did he do it? You know, like it wasn't, his name was kind of like put out there, and then nobody, the resolution wasn't as well known, I don't
think.
So then they're like, wait, is he guilty? And so his name is kind of marred for the rest of eternity. Mm-hmm. But again, he didn't see any jail, so I guess okay.
right. I would have assumed, I don't know, I would have thought he would have gotten like a million.
Yeah,
I don't know, like, to me that just seems like,
from one news source though, he sued a whole bunch. And one of them gave him $500,000.
Yeah. But then again, I don't know. It is 1996, so with like inflation, all this stuff. So, yeah, maybe to me that does seem like an appropriate amount, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, not too bad. Not too shabby from one news source. Although, you know, why would you want to go through it? the whole thing. It's not something you really are jealous of.
No. It was definitely hell.
yeah. So, as we talked about earlier, there was a reporter who kind of broke the news, and she was part of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and they ended up fighting with Richard Jewell over this whole case and the situation for 15 years, and they actually won. So
AJC won.
Yes.
Not Richard Jewell. Yeah.
Sorry. Yes. Richard Jewell did not win against them. And they're the one who broke the news. And I was watching an interview with the like guy who worked there. I think he was like the head honcho or something like that. And they believe that they did nothing wrong for sharing that Jewell was the focus of the investigation. They didn't necessarily do anything wrong with reporting what was happening. However, they proceeded to call him names and compare him to a famous serial killer. And that's what they were suing AJC for.
Yeah. I was looking at an interview and they were like, we're not mad that we're mad that they leaked his name, mm-hmm. but it wasn't just like, they were like, oh, it was, you know, Richard Jewell's a suspect. They were saying, this guy fits the lone bomber. He's sad. He lives with his mom. They like really degraded him. And they're like, he's basically similar to these serial killers. And it's like, no, you can't do that. Like, you can't do that. You can say, I mean, you shouldn't have said his name, but that's okay. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, okay, whatever. But you can't call him names and basically turn the whole public against him.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's like kind of what happened. So 100%. What do you think? Do you think that they should have won? Do you think it's justifiable?
No. I think they should have paid him money because they definitely, again, there's reporting facts and then there's literally blowing somebody up. And you know, you have to be professional. Like they literally called him fat and sad and lonely.
Like a loser.
And it's just like, okay, this is too much.
And it's especially sad when you put it in the context of he was innocent. It's so sad to think that he saved how many lives potentially, and you guys are calling him all these names and all this stuff. It's just so sad just to build up your own company.
There so is sad. A controversy. So the woman that got the name out of the FBI guy, there's controversy over her. I believe her name is Kathy Scruggs. And she since died since the movie mm-hmm. aired. And there's a lot of controversy over her portrayal because she is Olivia Wilde and she's very seductive. And basically she basically offers sex for that information. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of controversy with, this was directed by Clint Eastwood. And he didn't really get a lot of money for this film. I was reading earlier today because there was just like a lot of controversy over her portrayal and she's passed away. So she can't defend herself.
Right.
And people are saying like, you really need to address how that was blown out of proportion, but we don't really know. We don't know the whole story. So I don't really know what to believe, but it is hard when she's not around to kind of, I guess, defend herself.
Right. Exactly. I think that's such a great point.
Yeah, so that's like a, not a conspiracy, but that's a controversy in itself.
Yes, exactly.
With the movie. So after the 88 days, they dropped their case against Richard Jewell, but they still don't have the guy. Richard Jewell is not their prime suspect anymore. And basically the reason why is because they timed the amount of time it would take to walk from where he was to the payphone that the 911 call was taken at, and then walk back, and it doesn't add up. Like, he did not have enough time to be where he was and make that phone call.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so embarrassing that the FBI didn't even consider to do that before they went in. So that's a bad look for the FBI. But that's basically why, like, they want it. And this is a problem with a lot of cases. They just want somebody to be the perpetrator so bad that they formulate mm-hmm. this whole, they said, like, oh, he had an accomplice and the accomplice made the phone call. And it's like, oh my God, you're just forcing something
mm-hmm.
instead of looking for the actual person. So still don't have anybody. Eventually, nearly a decade later, the guy comes through. And Richard Jewell was exonerated after the confession of Eric Robert Rudolph. Rudolph was a terrorist with a long history of involvement in the Christian Identity Movement, which, if you're wondering, that is a white supremacy movement. So fantastic. Richard Jewell, I mean, at least in the movie, he did this. I'm not sure if real life Richard Jewell did this, but he kept saying, it's not me, and whoever's going to be, they're going to bomb. Like, you know, like, it might happen. More people might die.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, that is true. Rudolph did. He later bombed a lesbian nightclub and two abortion clinics because he was both anti-abortion and anti-gay, which, fantastic. Like, you're great.
Yeah.
Horrendous. Horrible, horrible, horrible. And I found it interesting. So he, after he did these bombings, he went and lived in the Appalachian wilderness for 5 years.
Wow.
And the only reason why he was arrested was because a police officer found him rifling through a dumpster to get food or what have you. And they took him in, and then I guess he confessed to these bombings. So that's when Richard Jewell's name was actually clear.
Yeah.
I think, you know, mm-hmm. people might have still thought he did it, but he just got away with it kind of thing.
Right.
But now his name was actually cleared, and that was almost a decade later. And this guy was just hanging out in the woods this time. Like, it's just wild.
Yeah, I could see how people really don't know, or yeah, people don't know, did Richard Jewell do this or not? Because the answer wasn't found until, like you said, a full decade later.
But luckily, by that time, Richard Jewell eventually found work as a sheriff's deputy in Georgia. So he did, his whole dream was to be a police officer, so he did make it to that point. However, unfortunately, he did die in 2007 due to complications from diabetes, and he was only 44 years old.
Yeah, so young.
I'm glad that he lived to see that somebody confessed.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very, very close, because I think they confessed in like 2005 or whatever, and then 2007 he passed away. So I'm glad he was able to see that, but still so sad that he died so soon.
Yeah, super sad. But yet this whole story is just absolute insanity.
It's just scary how bad the people that this is their job to figure out, how, I guess, unprofessional they can be, or they just
not careful. Yeah, the details. Yeah, and it shows too, if you don't even have a good lawyer to defend you, so many things could have gone wrong for Richard Jewell too, in just making any missteps during this entire process, even though he again was innocent.
Exactly. And you see it time and time again, people being innocent and going to prison. And that's exactly horrendous.
Yeah. So what did you think of the movie?
The movie I thought was okay.
Yeah.
I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it. I thought some of the writing was a little rough. I didn't really like the whole Olivia Wilde character. I thought it was pretty forced. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I would love to see how she was in real life, because I don't know how much was played up and how much was. Because in the movie, it was like, characteristically, she's willing to do anything and she's super callous and she is flirty, and that's how she gets her information, is by flirting with every officer and everything. And mm-hmm. then like Richard Jewell's mom goes and does a speech in front of, or a press conference. And then you see her, Kathy Scruggs, in the background, like tearing up, like, what did I do? I put this poor man. So it's like, okay, this doesn't feel legit. And honestly, if I want to be honest, I don't know how accurate they portrayed Richard Jewell in the movie, but if they accurately depicted him, he was really annoying. I was very annoyed because he was very, very, very pro police officer and kind of defended them in every way. And he was very, I could see why they picked him as a suspect, because it was just like, well, I'm a police officer too. It's no, you're a security guard. Like these are two different things. And again, it saved lives. So good on you for being that way. And I think we needed you in that moment, but he was annoying at multiple points in the movie. but I'm not saying that him as a real person is annoying. I'm just saying that the way he was depicted was annoying.
I agree. And I almost feel like, I almost wonder if they did that on purpose because of the whole like complaints. And you really do, I don't know about you, but like I did have the emotions of did he do it? Did he not do it? I don't know. I feel like I like him. He seems like a teddy bear, but then he's kind of annoying and maybe he's just crazy. And you know, he again, it like has that hero complex.
Yeah. Cause he clearly wanted to have authority and didn't have authority. And he got fired from his campus job because he was a little too rough with the students. And I was like, that's not a personality that I would want on a police force. because you're clearly wanting power. But again, I don't really know if that was just the way the movie was depicting him.
Right, exactly.
In the interviews I did watch, he seemed really polite and respectful and nice. I have to say that.
yeah, I agree.
Oh, one of the things I was I saw in my research was that there was a big debate when they were doing all the lawsuits on him. There was a big debate about whether or not he was a private figure or a public figure, because in those types of cases, you get treated differently. Oh, if you're a public figure, because it's kind of like you chose to be in the limelight. So this is on you. If you're, if you're suing us for putting your name in public, you already did that to yourself if you were a celebrity. And they were making the case that because he agreed to all these different interviews right as it happened when he was being declared a hero.
Yeah.
He agreed to like 11 interviews and they're like, you made your name known. And we reported the name because people knew you, who you were, because you chose to do these interviews. So now you chose to be a public figure and now we're trying you in that way. And he's like, no, I'm just a normal guy who did a good deed. They're like, yeah, but you didn't have to do all those interviews and you chose to do that. So I thought that was interesting.
Oh my God, it kind of comes back to bite you in the butt.
Yeah. And again, I also don't know if this is a true thing, but it was in the movie and he was saying how this is going to negatively impact other things, because if somebody sees a suspicious backpack anywhere, they're going to be like, I don't want to be Richard Jewell, so I'm not going to alert anybody of it because I don't want to be a suspect. And then, you know, obviously that could lead to really bad things. So I that was an angle that I didn't think about. Oh God, people won't report packages because they don't want to be a suspect in something wild.
Yeah. It's so sad that that is a thought process, you know?
Yeah.
And a valid one, I could see.
Yeah, I mean, it's happened, so I can see that. But it also saved lives, so that's another thing.
Exactly. But yeah, I guess overall, Richard Jewell was an innocent man who just had this crazy, honestly horrible investigation on him. Really everything bad that could go wrong, like, went wrong for him.
Yeah.
And all the things that, like, you should not do as an investigator, it all of that happened to this, again, poor innocent man who did such a great thing. Like, he really did save people's lives.
Yeah. And it really was all because the media wanted to sell papers. That's kind of what it was. And it just, the film was just kind of showing the relationship between the FBI and the media and how they kind of play off each other and stuff.
Yeah.
Which isn't good.
I wonder how the athletes felt. Not in like a jealous attention way where they're like, oh, like all the media coverage is on them. It's just like, I can only imagine how they might feel. Oh, like, this is not what we want at all, obviously, but just, this is a time where all the countries come together and we just, the best athletes all come out and compete And it's supposed to be like this symbol of unity and togetherness. Yeah. And then all this happened. So did we get any Olympic coverage happening? Or was this like the only thing people were talking about?
Yeah. Which, I mean, is fair because people did get hurt. It was definitely a big deal.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, that concludes today's episode. We hope you guys enjoyed it. Again, with just the timing of it all, worked out absolutely perfectly for us to talk about it today. Let us know what your thoughts are on Richard Jewell. Great place to start is watching the movie to really learn about kind of like the intricacies of this entire investigation and how they portrayed him in this film. But anyway, so we hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. We thoroughly enjoyed reporting out on this, and we will see you next week with another one. In the meantime, follow us at Bare Roots Pod on Instagram, B-A-R-E. Let your friends and family know about us, and we will talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.